This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
We have been talking this morning about the legislation before the Parliament, or about to go before the Parliament, on assisted dying. Jill Hennessy is the Victorian Minister for Health. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning, Chris and Macca. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good.
I want to congratulate you first off for you and the government for having the courage to introduce this legislation and to open the discussion so far, which has been, from what I've seen, pretty civil. So I'm very pleased about that. But I want to say thank you for opening up this issue and actually going a bit further and saying this is our proposal. Robert Doyle said earlier that he has never seen legislation that has more safeguards. Can you run us through what the safeguards are and why you as a minister, you know, why you're an advocate for this and why the government supports this, Jill?
Terrific. Well, look, there's been, I suppose, a bit of a long-term discussion around assisted dying, and you know, I think as a culture, we're pretty death-denying, and we've had an upper house inquiry that considered the issue and made a series of recommendations, and it was people from all parts of the political spectrum that painted out a model, and we then established a ministerial advisory panel with some of the best medical and palliative care experts to help us design our legislative framework. And Robert's correct in his assessment. It would probably be the most conservative framework that exists. And I should make the important point that during the ministerial advisory panel, one of the pieces of information that I think is really important and very much moved me was the evidence that the coroner gave, that is, there is at least one Victorian a week taking their own lives in circumstances where they've got a terminal illness because they don't have access to a form of assisted dying. And I just think we've got an obligation to consider that issue. And I suppose we've then used experts to develop a really terrific model that I say is compassionate and safe. And the summary of it is effectively this, that for people that have an incurable disease, illness or medical condition that's advanced and will cause death within weeks or months, and who are enduring suffering that can't be relieved in a manner that they can deem tolerable, they can make a request to a doctor. There is essentially two doctors that are required to be highly trained. They make assessments around a person's illness, around the voluntariness, around their decision-making capacity, whether or not there's evidence of coercion or any mental illness that might be driving their request. A person's required to make three requests, and the purpose of that is to make sure that a person is not making a split-second decision. They're required to make an enduring request. There's also a oversight panel that will monitor all of the processes to make sure all of the I's are dotted and T's are crossed. And then there's a whole range of regulation around the dispensation of medication. And it's really, I suppose, in significant ways influenced by a model that's been operating for 20 years in Oregon, with some significant differences, where we know about less than 0.4% of the population accessed it. There's really not been any evidence of exploitation. And I think fundamentally, it is about giving people a choice who are enduring unbearable suffering at the end of their life. And we know that many people are taking their own lives in those circumstances now because we don't give them any other choice.
And I think, Jill, one of the, you mentioned, you know, some some evidence the coroner has quoted of one a week. And often what happens when people reach this point, that they decide they do want to depart, that often, for want of a better word, sometimes it's not very tidy. Sometimes it actually causes them incredible pain or to do that. So
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's why so many of our paramedics and support law reform, because they're often having to respond. And,
yes.
I mean, I'm the recipient of so much feedback from families and people that are dying, that are in unbearable pain, and people are often taking their lives much earlier than they might want to because they're frightened about losing capacity. There's a beautiful video I'd refer your listeners to that Go Gentle have put out, and it is effectively the letter that a gorgeous man who had advanced multiple sclerosis left for his family, essentially saying, "I'm so sorry that I've had to do this." But the thought that people can't have that opportunity with their family to say goodbye, to do it in circumstances that are safe, is kind of very heartbreaking to me. And I really do believe that there is a very strong mainstream support for giving people a choice in a model that's got lots and lots of checks and balances in it. And this model has over 68 checks and balances in it. And the fact is I just don't think we can ignore what people are doing now.
Mm.
And it's not always the most delightful topic to talk about, death, but I think we need to talk about it more. And we often reflect upon death thinking about the death of other people that we love and our experiences of that, but we very seldom reflect upon our own, how we might want to say goodbye. And many people, as I said, are engaging in a pretty violent end-of-life exercise when they're dying because we've not given them any other choice. And I just think we've got to try and do better than that.
When does the when's the legislation up for debate in the House, in the Parliament?
Look, it should be in the coming months. We're drafting as we speak at the moment, and as soon as that work is done, the legislation will be introduced. It will be modelled on the assisted dying report that was released. That's a very detailed report, and that effectively sets out the legislative framework. So it's just the legal drafting that is being done now. And, you know, it is something that I know members of Parliament are thinking very deeply about. It's my personal view that we're a bit behind where community sentiment is in the Parliament on this matter. But there are others that for religious or spiritual reasons are opposed.
Mm.
There are others that want to learn more about the safeguards. So we'll just have to see. But I do fundamentally think we can't ignore the fact that people are taking their own lives now in very lonely circumstances, often in very violent circumstances, and when they just cannot take the pain anymore.
Yeah. It is going to be a conscience vote, isn't it, Minister?
It is. It is. So all members of Parliament are entitled to a free vote on this issue.
I mean, I want the message that I'd like to send to the Parliament is, you know, to everyone up there, every member of the Assembly and the Council, this is about dignity. In this debate, maintain dignity when we talk about this,
yeah.
Because all of us at some point are going to be touched by this, and it goes, if we can keep the dignity in it, then I feel the legislation will pass.
I think it's really important for us to have a dignified debate, and it's one of those issues that when you talk about it, and I, you know, as I said, I'm talking to people about this issue very often, whether it's people grabbing my elbow as I'm walking through hospitals through Victoria. I'm in lots of settings where people are confronting death, and many people are confronting a pretty awful death, and our palliative care services do a spectacular job, but there is some pain that palliative care just simply cannot address. Mm. And the fundamental issue is that it's often very painful for us to reflect upon death and our experience of death and people that we've loved and lost. It's a very emotional issue for many of us, and trying to have it respectfully and to try and keep the concept of this is about giving people a choice. You're not being asked to make this choice yourself. It is about, do you believe people should have this choice at the end of their life when they are enduring unbearable suffering? And for me, that answer is a firm yes. You know, I've been one of those people that have had people beg me for assistance at the, you know, as they are confronting unbearable pain and not being in a position to do it. I know so many nurses support this reform because they are often, you know, engaging with people that are begging them for assistance. It's a very tricky and emotional space. But I just really do believe that this model with 68 safeguards that would be the safest model in the world, I just think its time has come. But that's my view, and I'm hopeful that there will be other members of Parliament that have that view. But it is something that I just don't think we can continue to ignore what people are doing now.
Yeah. Jill Hennessy, thank you for your time. Thank you for the courage with this legislation and the dignity of the discussion. I encourage all members of Parliament, in fact, everyone in the community, to have a dignified discussion about this. It is about the sanctity of life as well, but it is about dignity, and that we all have the right to live with dignity. Surely we have the right to die with dignity. So I want to thank you.
Pleasure, Macca. That is my view. I think, you know, the end, you know, we all love good stories, and the end of the story is as important as what happens at the start and the middle of the story.
Yep.
And giving people a good life and a good end of life, I think, is just an incredibly important issue that we need to better turn our minds to.
You're on the money, Jill. No issues there. Thank you. Thank you for your time on a Saturday. Thank you for being the minister with passage of this.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.